Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah had long warned the Israelites that Babylon would attack and conquer them. When it finally happened, the king and 10,000 choice people were led away into captivity. Sadly, the remaining people in Jerusalem refused to give up their sinful living. Jeremiah was subsequently imprisoned and almost died. Then the Babylonians returned and sacked Jerusalem a second time. This time, practically everyone was rounded up and marched to Babylon in chains. God moved upon King Nebuchadnezzar to set Jeremiah free, and he returned to Judah, where he was captured by the remaining armed forces of Judah that had fled into the countryside. They decided to go to Egypt and forcefully took Jeremiah with them. Tradition claims that Jeremiah died there when he was stoned to death by an angry Jewish mob. This message is entitled, God's Prophet to Judah. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm happy to have you back here for our second teaching on Jeremiah. And I thought about this when I was up early this morning, that Jeremiah was a real person. He was a real person just like us. He lived on this earth 2,600 years ago. That's a long time. He was in paradise for about 600 years. He's been in heaven now for about 2,000 years. And I'm sure that he's thinking about people, you know, talking about him on earth. There are good preachers, bad preachers. And I'm sure that some preachers are butchering it, the story of Jeremiah. And this is just my imagination. He's just up there saying, "What? Hey, preacher, just wait till you get up here if you're saved, and I'm going to straighten you out. You had it all wrong." So I'm trying to be very careful and try to present what the Bible teaches about Jeremiah. I want you to see the setting of the time. When this was done, the people living in Scandinavia were on Stone Age. The same thing in England. And, of course, the Indians over here and other places. So it is important to understand that the earth is not uniform when it comes to civilizations. So right now, there are people living in the Amazon jungles or in Africa that are still Stone Age, while we are in the Rocket Age. So it doesn't mean that we're conforming around the world. Jeremiah lived in a society in Jerusalem. They had cities. They had farms. They had stores. They had small factories. They were producing a number of different things. In those years, there were no glass. You know what? We have a window. We got glass. They didn't have glass. They didn't know how to do that. So they either had some kind of a skin or they had some kind of a fabric. Or they had shutters. Most of the time they had shutters. They opened them in the daytime. Of course, all the flies and the mosquitoes came in at the same time. And at night they closed the shutters. So that's the cities they had. There were no plumbing in the houses. No running water. You simply had some kind of a spring or a well outside. You had to go there every day to get your water. There were no showers, and by the way, there were no toothbrushes, no toothpaste. They would simply take a cloth and just kind of rub the teeth. And so most people didn't take a bath for a year, so you can imagine how they smelled. But since they all smelled the same thing, you know, no one really bothered with it. So it was a very primitive life, no refrigerators. So every day you had to go to the butcher shop, which was usually the temple, and get your fresh meat, and the same thing with the milk and so on. So you had to go and shop every day for fresh food. This is how they lived. Very primitive. They had swords, knives, and they had bows. So you can imagine it was not very fun to walk around and somebody stab you with a sword or a knife or shoot you with an arrow. They had no medical doctors. If you got cut, I mean, you rub in whatever they did rub in and try to do it. Childbirth, if the child was breached, couldn't come out, mother died, child died. They didn't have cesarean surgery. So it was a very primitive time physically. But intellectually, you read the book of Job. Intellectually, it is surpassing even what we are thinking and talking about today because of the Holy Spirit. So this was Jeremiah, and I talked about him last week. We're going to turn right now to 2 Kings chapter 24. And the story here is the Babylonians had come in, and they simply took it over the city. And the king of Babylon simply said this, he was going to try to subdue Judah. And we pick it up here from verse number 7. And the king of Egypt came not again anymore out of his land. For the king of Babylon taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates all that pertained to the king of Egypt. So Egypt had been defeated. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. 18 years old reminds me of the fat boy in North Korea, simply being a king, having too much money, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. At that time, the servant of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servant did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother, his servant, and his princes, and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. Now Jehoiachin did not fight. He simply took all his court. He went out to meet the king of Babylon, thinking, you know, I can talk him out of this. I give him some more silver and gold, and we make a deal. Well, it didn't work out for him. And he carried out thence all the treasure of the house of the Lord, and the treasure of the king's house, and cut in peace all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. Notice this now. God is not sentimental. You and I are sentimental people. We like to hang on to things. All the things that King Solomon had done, beautiful gold things, silver, all kind of furniture things in a temple. The king, Babylon, sent his soldiers in. They cut them up, bundled them up to melt them and reuse them. When we sin, the hammer will come down. Remember that. God is not sentimental. They might be treasures to you, and God said they're not treasures to me. Because you sin, I take them away, I destroy them, you lose this or you lose that. The same thing goes for our land here in the United States. God is not sentimental. Someday, this nation will be destroyed unless we repent. And God is not sentimental. And he carried away all Jerusalem and the princes. Now, the word prince means politician. These were men, they were simply of nobility. They were the political leaders. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the politicians and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, all the craftsmen and smith. None remained save the poor sort of the people of the land. Let's talk about our city here in Sacramento, which is close to us. This is where we live. Imagine now a Chinese military coming in, and they take out every person of value, office clerks, storekeepers, people are working in different trades, and all you leave in the city are the homeless people. That's exactly what happened in Jerusalem. He took away anyone that had any value, which meant that the city came to a standstill. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, his officers, and mighty men of land, those carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smith 1,000, and all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. He simply wiped out the city. It would be like all our car mechanics are gone, the doctors are gone, clinics are gone. There's nothing left that works. And that was a punishment. Here now is Jeremiah. He sees all of this. He had been preaching for a number of years, and he warned them and said, please, 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 turn from your sins. And they would go, oh, look at crazy Jeremiah. Who cares? Roll out the barrels. Bring out the women. Let's have a ball. Let's have fun. Jeremiah said, please, repent. How do you think these people felt when they had shackles and they marched down like cattle, probably about 2-3 miles long caravan, maybe 4 or 5 people a breath, and you could hear the chains clanking, and they were walking, getting on water once in a while, and they had to walk for about 1,000 miles. What do you think they thought? They thought this. You know, we were stupid. We did not listen to Jeremiah. Why did we be so stupid? You know, I told you last week, man is a rebel. We don't like to obey. I have warned people in saying this. Do not sin under grace. And if you don't have problems sinning, if you are today listening to me and you says, well, you know, I have problems sinning, I can give you a tour of a convalescent nursing home. And I will take you in there, and there you will see people that had strokes. And you will see them, their eyes are rolled back in the back, they can barely talk like this. And you know, some of them are 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. And I can show you people with diabetes. They have been had their legs amputated, they're sitting in wheelchairs. I can show you all kind of things. And you see, when you sin, God might not necessarily take your life. He might just remove the protection. Here come demons in, and they cause all kind of sickness. And there you are, sitting in a nursing home for maybe 27 years before you die. And you sit there and say, I wish you knew that I had not sinned. Why can't you get smart now? I mean, do we need to have you come in and we take two by fours and whack you in the head until you wake up? When will you wake up? Remember this. We have grace, but grace can run out. Now the Babylonians selected Jehoiachin's uncle, Mathaniah, to become the next vassal king of Judah. And they changed his name to Zedekiah, verses 17 through 20. And the king of Babylon made Mathaniah his father's brother king in his stead, changed his name to Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, and he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Here comes now his uncle. And you would think that the uncle now said, you know, I sort of take all these people out. I'm going to get smart. I'm going to be obeying the king of Babylon so I can reign. And we are going to serve the Lord to be restored. But he didn't think that way. Instead, he simply sinned. In Jeremiah chapter 37, as we move on here, that's Jeremiah chapter 37, and we want to pick it up in verse number 1. That's Jeremiah chapter 37. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants, nor the people of the land, did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. We get people all the time to contact us. And they say, you know, I need deliverance, I need help, I'm hurting, and so on. And we check them out. We see what's going on. And people says, well, you know, I just can't give that sin up, whatever it is. It could be a drug. It could be alcohol. It could be pornography. It could be gossip. It could be anything. And for some reason, we are hanging on to that. And let me tell you this. It leads to death and destruction. I want to share, this is a story that I shared before, but I'm going to share it again because we got new people, and I want to have on this message. This goes back about 25 years ago, and it happened in Sweden. 25, 30 years ago in Sweden, they have what they call factory stores. And so they had certain locations where they had the factories put up certain stores that had bargain prices and so on. Particularly had glasswares and clothing. And so they would have people come in with buses. So they would come in from a city and you had a bus, maybe 50, 60 people on the bus. It was a nice bus. And they would bus them into this factory store place. and they were there shopping all day. On their way back home to the city, wherever they came from, the bus caught on fire. Now, they only had one door, which is in the front. And the bus driver stopped, opened a door, and told the people, "Get out!" Now, everybody stood up. But instead of getting out, everybody grabbed their stuff. Bags. And guess what? No one got off the bus. And all 67 of them burned crisp. Yeah, they got the stuff with them. You see, if they would have been smart, they would have said, "Well, maybe I paid $2,000 for this stuff, but man, I'm not going to die for that. I'm going to run out." But because everybody got their stuff, they all died. This is a true story. What about you? What kind of stuff do you have? What kind of stuff are you carrying, trying, when God says, you know, get out of it, and you pick up your stuff? Let it go. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal the son of Shelmiah, and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." Now, Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him in prison yet. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. When the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "This is the Lord, the God of Israel. Thus shall you say to the king of Judah, that sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt, into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city, and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though you have smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn the city with fire." So, they warned them. And it came to pass that the army of the Chaldeans were broken up from Jerusalem for fear of the Pharaoh's army. Then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. Jeremiah said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to the countryside. And I had enough of this. I'm tired of it. But you know what? There's no good place in the countryside. Jeremiah got arrested. Verse 13. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "You followed away to the Chaldeans, or you are going to go over the Chaldeans?" Then said Jeremiah, "It is the false. I followed away to the Chaldeans." But he hearkened unto him. So Arijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes, where the princes were wroth with Jeremiah, and smote him, and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan, the scribe, for they had made that the prison. If God wants you to be in a certain place, you try to get away, it's not going to work. Now, Jeremiah was tired. He had warned these people over and over again. They did not listen. Carried away into captivity. I'm sure Jeremiah simply said, "You know, I'm done ministering. I'm done. I'm tired of these people in Jerusalem. I'm going to walk off. Let God deal with myself." But God wanted Jeremiah back in the midst of the battle. So he was brought back. When King Zedekiah heard what happened to Jeremiah, he had Jeremiah brought back to Jerusalem and asked him for a personal prophecy. Zedekiah didn't like it, but Jeremiah told him that he would be captured by the Babylonians, and Jeremiah was in prison again. Verses 17 through 21. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word for the Lord?" Now, if you're in sin, if you're in trouble, and you go to a pastor, you go someplace, and you say, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Be smart enough to listen and then take advice. Take advice. Now, I'm going to talk about Brother Peter from San Diego. He's listening to me today. Brother Peter was here for deliverance a couple of weeks ago. And one of his weaknesses was alcohol. Now, he had some nice wine bottles inherited from his parents. Years. And he also had a wine bottle for the Catholic Church for communion only. Had them there on the shelf. And I told him this. I said, "It's one thing that you do not need is alcohol." He said, "I will destroy them." He went back home. He cleaned it out. Poured it out. Destroyed it. Why? Because he didn't want the stuff that goes with it. Now, Zedekiah said, "Please tell me." If he would have said, "Jeremiah, help me to repent. Help me to clean out the idolatry. Help me to let me get back again worshiping God." But you see, most people want to be delivered so they can continually live like they are doing. They don't want to change. Deliverance is a lifestyle change. It is not just to have the demon thrown out. It's a lifestyle change. Eating, the way you live, talk, and everything else. Let me pick it up here now. 17. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out of the king's. Or the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word for the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is. For," said he, "you shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover, Jeremiah said to the king Zedekiah, "What have I offended against you, or against your servants, or against this people, that you have put me in prison?" "Hey, king, why am I in this prison? I am a political prisoner. Where are now your prophets who prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore, hear now, I pray you, O my lord the king, let my supplication, I pray you, be accepted before you, that you cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan, the scribe, lest I die there." Then Zedekiah the king commanded they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison, and they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, and that all the bread in the city was spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. He was stuck. Now, when the princes heard this, they demanded that he be put to death. Then Shethiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, all sons of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to all the people, saying, "Thus is the Lord, he that remains in the city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. For he that goes forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. This is like treason for the people. That they were fighting hard. But you see, there comes a time when we have to surrender. And God simply now told Judah, you sin, there's no second chance. You have to be under the Chaldeans. Period. This is the Lord. This city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army. We shall take it. Therefore the prince is sent to the king. We beseech you, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakens the hand of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeks not the welfare of his people, but the hurt. In other words, we are fighting. We're trying to beat the Babylonians. And this guy is prophesying, walk out and surrender. Put him to death. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he's in your hand. For the king is not he that can do anything against you. The king simply said this, I am powerless. I have no power. You politicians, you're stronger than me. Do whatever you want to do. Then took the Jeremiah, cast me into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek. That was in the court of the prison. Let down Jeremiah records. In the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Can you imagine this now? Here's Jeremiah sinking down into this mud hole up to his armpits. He realized this. I'm going to die here. I prophesied. I did this. This is a bonus scripture here. Chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. And I'm going to pick it up in verse number 7. I want you to see the mindset of Jeremiah. He said, O Lord, you have deceived me. I was deceived. You're stronger than I has prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violently and spoiled because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me in derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearance. I could not stay. And then we go down to verse number 17. Actually, let me go up to verse number 14. Jeremiah 20, 14. Cursed be the day when I was born. Let not a day when my mother bare me be blessed. Have you ever been to the place where you want to die? Jeremiah came to that. Tell me about my birthday. I don't want to have a birthday. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man shall be born unto you, making him very glad. And let not man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontime. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and a womb be always great for me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my day should be consumed with shame. That was a heartbeat of Jeremiah. He had a hard time, a real hard time. But God had called him. Why did God have Jeremiah stand there continuously? Because he didn't want the kings, the princes, and any person living in Judah at that time to say, if we had only known, we would have changed. They had no excuse. They had a witness day and night. And this is the same thing with you and me. You says, why? Why do I have to preach? Why do I have to witness? Why do we do this? No one's going to hear me anyway. That's not the problem. God wants his message out so that no one can say, when they are judged, if I only would have known, I would have changed. At that day, God is going to say, shut your mouth. I sent this person. I sent that person. You picked up this book. You watched that program. You have plenty of warning. But you decided not to listen. Now shut your mouth. You're guilty. Here is your sentence. This is why we continue to preach and preach and preach. In verse 7 of Jeremiah 38, we read this. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, he was a black man, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard they put Jeremiah in a dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin. He was at the court house of Benjamin. Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah, the prophet, whom they have cast in the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in a place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with you. Take up Jeremiah, the prophet, out of the dungeon before he died. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, 30 men, went into the house of the king and the treasurer, took thence out all cast clouts, all rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon of Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under your armholes, under the cord. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords, and took him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in a court in prison. I got stuck in mud one time in Folsom Lake. We were baptized and it was dry. And I was only down to my knees. But I couldn't get out. They had to pull me out. And it was hard to get out. Here's Jeremiah now. Back, he's still in prison. But at least he's not down in the pit. We turn now to Jeremiah chapter 39. Jeremiah chapter 39. And we read the first 9 verses. In the 9th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, the 9th day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat at the middle gate at the courthouse, even Nergal-Shazzar, Samgar-Nebo, Sarsachim, Rab-Saris, Nergal-Shar-Reser, Rab-Mag, with all the rest of the princes of the king of Babylon. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them, and all the men of war, they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's guard, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them, overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. When they had taken him, they brought him unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment unto him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. I want you to see the king now, Zedekiah, standing there, shackled. They bring up his sons, and you see them beheaded, cut in pieces. Then you see all the princes of Jerusalem, all the men that ruled it, cut in pieces. And after that, we read this. Moreover, he put out Sedekiah's eyes, bound with chains to carry him to Babylon. The way they did that was, they would have a fire. They would have a rod of iron. They would heat that rod of iron up and he was red hot. They would hold the guy steady. They would take that hot rod iron and burn his eyes out one by one. And the last thing that Sedekiah saw was his sons being killed. And then he was blinded for the rest of his life. Chained and carried away. What do you think Sedekiah thought then? What do you think he thought after he, burning the eyes out? I mean, it must have taken him hours to get over the pain. What do you think he said? Why? Why did I not listen? What was wrong with me? Why did I not listen? But you see, it was too late. And this is the part of the message that I want to get across here today. This: why won't you listen? You're not dead yet. You're not sick yet. You're still intact. God is simply saying this: come, let us reason, repent, turn. Drop the baggage, and I will restore you. That's the message today. Are you going to be a Sedekiah? Are you going to be one that later on I get a phone call from? When you're in a prison cell? When you might be in the hospital? Permanently disabled? He said, Pastor John, can you come and pray for me? You know, this happened to me. Why should you wait? Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day that you can change. Let's talk about the faith of Jeremiah. Verse number 10 in the same chapter. Now, the spelling of these different names are different here. No one can explain if somebody copied them down. So you had Nebuchadnezzar and so on. So just read what the text says. But Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people, which are nothing, in the land of Judah, gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, saying, take him, look well to him, do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto you. So Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebuchadnezzar, Rabsaris, and Nergal, Shazaris, and Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison, and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home, so he dwelt among the people. Jeremiah was spared, and he was told, you can go where you want. Now, if you read the verse number 15, God had spoken to Jeremiah. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prince, saying, go and speak to Ebed Melech, the Ethiopian, say, thus is the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring my words upon the city for evil, and not for good, that shall be accomplished in that day before you. But I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be given to hand of the men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you. You shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be for a prey unto you. Because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. When we put our trust in the Lord, he will save us. Then we turn to Jeremiah chapter 43. Jeremiah chapter 43, and you pick it up in verse number 4. Now, the remaining army of Judah had fled, were in the countryside, came back. They killed the vassal king, Gedaliah. And they simply said, let's go to Egypt. How many times have you said, let's go back to Egypt? There's nothing in Egypt. Have you read this from verse number 4? So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people, obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. These people perished. Now, the Jewish people as a whole, remnants were saved. But I want you to understand this. Thousands of Jewish people here lost their lives, never lived their lives out, died. They did not obey God. They did not look forward to the Messiah. All these people are in hell today. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captain of the force, all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captain of the forces, took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, where they had been driven, to dwell in the land of Judah. Even men and women, children, and the king's daughters, and every person that Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet of Baruch, the son of Neriah. So they came to the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tahpanhes. Jeremiah ended up in Egypt. This was not something that he wanted to do. But this is where he ended up. In Jeremiah chapter 43, from verse number 8 and down to verse number 13. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tahpanhes, saying, take great stones in your hand, hide them in a clay in a brick kiln, which is in the entry of Pharaoh's house at Tahpanhes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And say unto them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid. He shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he comes, you smite the land of Egypt, and deliver such as are for death to death, and set them from captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt. He shall burn them and carry them away captives. He shall array them himself in the land of Egypt as a shepherd, puts on his garment that he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt, and the house of the gods of the Egyptians, shall it burn with fire. The people that went into Egypt with Johanan, they all died. That part of Judaism, those Jews, their bloodline stopped. They were all killed off because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Tradition tells us that the Jews got so angry over this prophecy that they took Jeremiah and stoned him, and they finally killed him in Egypt. He went to paradise. Today's in heaven. And I'm sure today that he's simply praising God. He's probably weeping over all the people that got lost. And this will be taken care of. We get into the new Jerusalem, the new creation. God will wipe away all tears. But as he walks in heaven, King David and all the others, with Jesus, the apostles, he's simply saying this: I did the best I could. I never held back a prophecy. Their blood is on their hands. I'm clean. You and I do not know how we're going to end up our lives. We know the Antichrist is down the road. And we don't know what will befall upon us. The question is this: are you going to be faithful? Are you going to be faithful and simply saying, I will never compromise. I will not compromise. Regardless what will happen. Those are the people God is looking for. Right now we're living in good times. In the United States, we're prospering right now. How long that's going to last, we don't know. It's a grace period. Use the good times to witness, to pray, to minister, investing your money into the kingdom of God. Because the day might come when we might not have anything to give. This is the time to invest in the kingdom of God. And the final thought that I want to share with you here on this message is this. If you are sitting on a fence, and you know that you are sinning, you know that there's something that you're not doing right. You heard my message today, and you say, yes, I know I need to repent. I know I need to change. Today is a day of salvation, not tomorrow. Today is a day that you should simply say, no more drugs, no more alcohol, no more sinning. I'm done with it. I am going to surrender and totally give my life to Christ. I feel in my spirit, the Holy Spirit is telling me this, that there are some of you watching now. You might be watching later when this goes up in the archives. It might be 5 years from now. 10 years from now you're watching this. And I'm speaking to you. And you can at that time repent. Here's what you need to do. Simply tell God, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Have mercy on me. In the name of Jesus, I break these chains around me. And I'm going to seek someone out that can pray with me, minister to me, and then burn and destroy all your stuff. If it's alcohol, pornography, whatever you have that you have used, destroy it. Save nothing. And God will set you free. If we are still around, because this might be years from now when you hear this, call our ministry. On our website, you find phone numbers. You find email addresses there. You can write to us and say, I listened to you Sunday. I'm one of these guys. I'm a Zedekiah. I want to repent before they put my eyes out. Call us, and our people will contact you. They will pray with you. They will minister to you. If you're not saved, will you today say, I want to be saved. I want to repent of my sins. I want Jesus to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And then, as we finish here, Charles Terrell is going to come. He's going to give the plan of salvation. And he's going to also pray with you and show you how to do it. And you will be saved today. May God bless you. And to you that are regular listeners watching us, my cyber members, make sure that there is no dirt in your life. Make sure you don't have any luggage that you should not have. shed it all, and fly high with Jesus. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word here today and on the life of Jeremiah, Lord. Looks like he had a rough life. And we thank you, Father, that the scriptures bear it all, tell it all. It's difficult to understand at times and hard to decipher. But we got a good dose of it today. We thank you for helping each and every one of us to walk in the light and to be putting the gospel out as we're called to do. And thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell.
So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the second part in the series, The Prophet Jeremiah, and was entitled, God's Prophet to Judah. Jeremiah had long warned the Israelites that Babylon would attack and conquer them. When it finally happened, the king and 10,000 choice people were led away into captivity. Among them was Daniel and his three friends. Sadly, the remaining people in Jerusalem refused to repent and give up their sinful living. Jeremiah was subsequently imprisoned and almost died. Then the Babylonians returned and sacked Jerusalem a second time. This time, practically everyone was rounded up and marched to Babylon in chains. Only the poorest were left behind. God moved upon King Nebuchadnezzar to set Jeremiah free, and he chose to return to Judah, where he was captured by the remaining armed forces of Judah that had fled into the countryside. They decided to go to Egypt and took Jeremiah against his will. Tradition claims that Jeremiah died there when he was stoned to death by an angry Jewish mob. In order to understand the book of Jeremiah, it helps to understand his life and historical events that took place and shaped the prophetic warnings from God. While this is not a story with a happy ending, Jeremiah can nevertheless stand before God with no regrets because he did exactly what God asked of him. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1638. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.